the 25th of May. Waked betimes and lay long, haciendo dos veces con mi mujer, con grande pleasure to me and ella. And there fell to talking, and by rose, it being the first fair day, and yet not quite fair that we've had some time. And so up and to walk with my father again in the garden, consulting what to do with him and this house when Paul and her husband goes away, and I think it will be to let it, and he go live with her, though I am against letting the house for any long time, because of having it to retire to ourselves. So I do intend to think more of it before I resolve. By and by comes Mr. Cook to see me, and so spent the morning, and he gone by and by at noon to dinner, where Mr. Shepley came, and we merry, all being in good humour between my wife and her people about her, and after dinner took horse, I promising to fetch her away about 14 days hence. And so calling all of us, we men on horseback, and the women and my father, at Goody Gorham's, and there in a frolic drinking, I took leave, there going with me and my boy, two brothers, and one Brown, whom they call in mirth Colonel, for our guide, and also Mr. Shepley to the end of Huntingdon, and another gentleman who accidentally came thither, one Mr. Castle, and I made them drink at the Chequer, where I observed the same tapster, Tom, that was there when I was a little boy. And so at the end of the town took leave of Shepley and the other gentleman, and so we away and got well to Cambridge about 7, to the Rose, the waters not being now so high as before, and here lighting, I took my boy and two brothers and walked to Magdalen College, and there into the butteries as a stranger, and there drank my bellyful of their beer, which pleased me as the best I ever drank, and here by the butler's man, who was son to Goody Mulliner, over against the college, that we used to buy stewed prunes of, concerning the college and persons in it, and find very few, only Mr. Hollins and Peachell, I think, that were of my time. But I was mightily pleased to come in this condition to see and ask, and thence, giving the fellow something, away. Walked to Chesterton to see our old walk, and there into the church, the bells ringing, and saw the place I used to sit in, and so to the ferry, and ferried over to the other side, and walked with great pleasure, the river being mighty high by Barnwell Abbey, and so by Jesus College to the town, and so to our quarters and to supper, and then to bed, being very weary and sleepy, and mightily pleased with this night's walk. The 26th of May. Up by 4 o'clock, and by the time we were ready and had ate, we were called to the coach, where about 6 o'clock we set out, there being a man and two women of one company, ordinary people, and one lady alone, that is tolerable handsome, but mighty well spoken, whom I took great pleasure in talking to, and did get her to read aloud in a book she was reading in the coach, being the King's Meditations. And then the boy and I to sing, and so about noon came to Bishop Stortford to another house than what we were at the other day, and better used, and here I paid for the reckoning 11 shillings, we dined all together, and pretty merry. And then set out again, sleeping most part of the way, and got to Bishopsgate Street before 8 o'clock, the waters being now most of them down, and we avoiding the bad way in the forest by a privy way which brought us to Hoddesdon, and so to Theobald's that road, which was mighty pleasant. So home, where we find all well, and Brother Balti and his wife looking to the house, she mighty fine in a new gold-laced justaucorps. I shifted myself, and so to see Mistress Turner, and Mercer appearing over the way, called her in and sat and talked, and then home to my house by and by, and there supped and talked mighty merry, and then broke up and to bed, being a little vexed at what Will Hewer tells me Sir John Shaw did this day in my absence say at the board, complaining of my doing of him injury, and the board permitting it, whereas they had more reason to accept against his attributing that to me alone, which I could not do but with their consent and direction, it being to very good service to the King, and what I shall be proud to have imputed to me alone. The King, I hear, came to town last night. The 27th of May. Up and to the office where some time upon Sir Dennis Gordon's accounts, and then I by water to Westminster for some Tangier orders, and so meeting with Mr. Sawyer, my old chamber fellow, he and I by water together to the Temple, he giving me an account of the base rude usage which he and Sir George Carteret had lately before the Commissioners of Accounts, where he was as counsel to Sir George Carteret, which I was sorry to hear, they behaving themselves like most insolent and ill-mannered men. Thence by coach to the Exchange, and there met with Sir Hugh Cholmondeley at Colville's, and there did give him some orders, and so home, and there to the office again, where busy till 2 o'clock, and then with Sir Dennis Gordon to his house, with my Lord Brunker and Sir John Minnis to dinner, where we dined very well and much good company. Among others, a Dr. Waterhouse, a fat man whom by face I know as one that uses to sit in our church, that after dinner did take me out and walk together, who told me that he had now newly entered himself into orders, in the decay of the church, and did think it his duty so to do, thereby to do his part toward the support and reformation thereof, and spoke very soberly, and said that just about the same age, Dr. Dunn did enter into orders. I find him a sober gentleman, and a man that hath seen much of the world, and I think may do good. Thence, after dinner, to the office, and there did a little business, and so to see Sir William Penn, who I find still very ill of the gout, sitting in his great chair made on purpose for persons sick of that disease, for their ease, and this very chair, he tells me, was made for my Lady Lambert. Thence by coach to my tailor's, there to direct about the making of me another suit, and so to Whitehall and through St. James's Park to St. James's, thinking to have met with Mr. Wren, but could not, and so homeward toward the New Exchange, and meeting Mr. Creed, he and I to drink some whey at the Whey House, and so into the Change, and took a walk or two, and so home, and there vexed at my boys being out of doors till 10 at night. But it was upon my brother Jackson's business, and so I was the less displeased, and then made the boy to read to me out of Dr. Wilkins's Real Character, and particularly about Noah's Ark, wherein he doth give a very good account thereof, showing how few the number of the several species of beasts and fowls were that were to be in the ark, and that there was room enough for them and their food and dung, which doth please me mightily, and is much beyond whatever I heard of that subject. And so to bed. The 28th of May. Up to set right some little matters of my Tangier accounts, and so to the office where busy all the morning, and then home with my people to dinner, and after dinner comes one about a petition for a poor woman whose ticket she would get paid, and so talked a little and did bazaar her, and so to the office, being pleased that this morning my bookseller brings me home Marcin's book of music, which costs me £3.02, but is a very fine book. So to the office and did some business, and then by coach to the New Exchange, and there, by agreement at my bookseller's shop, met Mercer and Guyot, and took them by water first to one of the neat houses, where walked in the garden, but nothing but a bottle of wine to be had, though pleased with seeing the garden, and so to Vauxhall, where with great pleasure we walked, and then to the upper end of the further retired walk, and there sat and sang, and brought great many gallants and fine people about us, and upon the bench we did by and by eat and drank what we had, and very merry, and so with much pleasure to the Old Swan, and walked with them home, and there left them, and so I home to my business at the office a little, and so to bed. The 29th of May. Betimes up and up to my Tangier accounts, and then by water to the council chamber, and there receive some directions from the Duke of York and the Committee of the Navy there, about casting up the charge of the present summer's fleet, that so they may come within the bounds of the sum given by the Parliament. But it is pretty to see how Prince Rupert and other mad silly people are for setting out but a little fleet, there being no occasion for it, and say it will be best to save the money for better uses. But Sir William Coventry did declare that in wisdom it was better to do so, but that in obedience to the Parliament he was setting out the 50 sail talked on, though it spend all the money and to little purpose, and that this was better than to leave it to the Parliament to make bad constructions of their thrift, if any trouble should happen. Thus wary the world is grown. Thence back again presently home, and did business till noon, and then to Sir George Carteret's to dinner, with much good company, it being the King's birthday, and many healths drunk, and here I did receive another letter from my Lord Sandwich, which troubles me to see how I have neglected him in not writing or but once all this time of his being abroad, and I see he takes notice, but yet gently, of it, that it puts me to great trouble, and I know not how to get out of it, having no good excuse, and too late now to mend, he being come home. Thence home, whither by agreement by and by comes Mercer and Guyot, and two gentlemen with them, Mr. Monteith and Pelham, the former a swaggering young handsome gentleman, the latter a sober citizen merchant. Both sing, but the latter with great skill, the other no skill, but a good voice, and a good bass, but used to sing only tavern tunes, and so I spent all this evening till 11 at night singing with them, till I tired of them because of the swaggering fellow with the bass, though the girl, Mercer, did mightily commend him before to me. This night, yo had agreed para andar at Deptford, there para haber lain con the mohair de Bagwell, but this company did hinder me. The 30th of May. Up and put on a new summer black bombazin suit, and to the office, and being come now to an agreement with my barber to keep my periwigs in good order at 20 shillings a year, I'm like to go very spruce, more than I used to do. All the morning at the office, and at noon home to dinner, and so to the King's Playhouse, and there saw Philister, where it is pretty to see how I could remember almost all along, ever since I was a boy, Arethusa's part, which I was to have acted at Sir Robert Cook's, and it was very pleasant to me, but more to think what a ridiculous thing it would have been for me to have acted a beautiful woman. Thence to Mistress Pierce's, and there saw Nip also, and were merry, and here saw my little Lady Catherine Montague come to town about her eyes, which are sore, and they think the King's evil, poor pretty lady. Here I was freed from a fear that Nip was angry, or might take advantage. Did parlar the esto that yo did the otra day, quand yo was con her, in ponendo her mano upon mi cosa, but I saw no such thing but as pleased as ever, and I believe she can bear with any such thing. Thence to the New Exchange, and there met Harris and Rolt, and one Richards, a tailor, and great company keeper, and with these over to Vauxhall, and there fell into the company of Harry Killigrew, a rogue newly come back out of France, but still in disgrace at our court, and young Newport, and others, as very rogues as any in the town, who were ready to take hold of every woman that came by them. And so to supper in an arbour, but Lord, their mad bawdy talk did make my heart ache, and here I first understood by their talk the meaning of the company that lately were called bawlers, Harris telling how it was by a meeting of some young blades, where he was among them, and my Lady Bennet and her ladies, and there dancing naked, and all the roguish things in the world. But, Lord, what loose cursed company was this that I was in to-night, though full of wit and worth a man's being in for once, to know the nature of it and their manner of talk and lives. Thence set Rolt and some of them at the New Exchange, and so I home, and my business being done at the office, I to bed. The 31st of May, Lord's Day. Up and to church in the morning. At noon I sent for Mr. Mills and his wife and daughter to dine, and they dined with me and Will Hewer, and very good company, I being in good humour. They gone to church comes Mr. Tempest, and he and I sang a psalm or two, and so parted, and by water to the New Exchange, and there to Mistress Pierce's, where Nip and she, and Will Howe and Mr. Pierce and little Betty, over to Vauxhall, and there walked and supped with great pleasure. Here was Mistress Manuel also, and mighty good company, and good mirth in making Howe spend his 6 or 7 shillings, and so they called him altogether Cully. So back, and at Somerset Stairs, do understand that a boy is newly drowned, washing himself there, and they cannot find his body. So, seeing them home, I home by water, Will Howe going with me, and after some talk he lay at my house, and all to bed. Here I hear that Mistress Davies is quite gone from the Duke of York's house, and Gosnell comes in her room, which I'm glad of. At the play at court the other night, Mistress Davies was there, and when she was come to dance her jig, the Queen would not stay to see it, which people do think it was out of displeasure at her being the King's whore, that she could not bear it. My Lady Castlemaine is, it seems, now mightily out of request, the King coming little to her, and she mighty melancholy and discontented. June 1668. The First. Up and with Sir John Minnes to Westminster, and in the hall there I met with Harris and Rolt, and carried them to the Rhenish wine-house, where I have not been in a morning, nor any tavern, I think, these 7 years and more. Here I did get the words of a song of Harris that I wanted. Here was also Mr. Young and Whistler by chance met us, and drank with us. Thence home, and to prepare business against the afternoon, and did walk an hour in the garden with Sir William Warren, who doth tell me of the great difficulty he is under in the business of his accounts with the Commissioners of Parliament, and I fear some inconveniences and troubles may be occasioned thereby to me. So to dinner, and then with Sir John Minnes to Whitehall, and there attended the Lords of the Treasury, and also a committee of council with the Duke of York, about the charge of this year's fleet. And thence I to Westminster, and to Mistress Martin's, and did affair what yo would con her, and did aussi tocar la thigh de Sir Landlady. And thence all alone to Vauxhall, and walked, and saw young Newport, and two more rogues of the town seize on two ladies, who walked with them an hour with their masks on, perhaps civil ladies, and there I left them, and so home, and thence to Mr. Mills's, where I never was before, and here find, whom I indeed saw go in, and that did make me go thither, Mistress Hallworthy, and Mistress Andrews, and here supped, and extraordinary merry till one in the morning, Mr. Andrews coming to us, and mightily pleased with this night's company and mirth, I home to bed. Mistress Turner, too, was with us. The 2nd of June. Up and to the office where all the morning. At noon, home to dinner, and there dined with me, besides my own people, William Batalier and Mercer, and we very merry. And after dinner they gone, only Mercer and I, to sing a while, and then parted. And I out, and took a coach, and called Mercer at their back door, and she brought with her Mistress Knightley, a little pretty sober girl. And I carried them to Old Ford, a town by Bow, where I never was before, and there walked in the fields very pleasant, and sang, and so back again, and stopped and drank at the Gun at Mile End. And so to the Old Exchange door, and did give them a pound of cherries, cost me 2 shillings, and so set them down again, and I to my little Mercer's, Finch, that lives now in the Minories, where I had left my cloak, and did hear Besar su mujer, a belle femme, and there took my cloak which I had left there, and so by water, it being now about 9 o'clock, down to Deptford, where I have not been many a day, and there, it being dark, I did by agreement andar a la house de Bagwell, and there, after a little playing and besando, we did go up in the dark a su cama, and there did facero la grand cosa upon the bed, and that being hecho, did go away, and to my boat again, and against the tide home. Got there by 12 o'clock, and to bed, taking into my boat for company a man that desired a passage, a certain western bargeman, with whom I had good sport, talking of the old woman of Woolwich, and telling him the whole story. The 3rd of June. Up and to the office, where busy till 9 o'clock, and then to Whitehall to the council chamber, where I did present the Duke of York with an account of the charge of the present fleet, to his satisfaction. And this being done, did ask his leave for my going out of town 5 or 6 days, which he did give me, saying that my diligence in the King's business was such that I ought not to be denied when my own business called me any whither. Thence with Sir Dennis Gordon to Westminster, where I did take a turn or two, and met Roger Pepys, who is mighty earnest for me to stay from going into the country till he goes, and to bring my people thither for some time. But I cannot, but we'll find another time this summer for it. Thence with him home, and there to the office till noon, and then with Lord Brunker, John Minnis, and Sir George Carteret, upon whose accounts they have been this day, to the Three Tuns to dinner, and thence back again home, and after doing a little business, I by coach to the King's House, and there saw a good part of The Scornful Lady. And that done would have taken out Nip, but she was engaged. And so to my Lord Crewe's to visit him, from whom I learn nothing, but there hath been some controversy at the council table about my Lord Sandwich's signing where some would not have had him, in the treaty with Portugal. But all, I think, is over in it. Thence by coach to Westminster to the hall, and thence to the park, where much good company and many fine ladies. And in so handsome a hackney I was, that I believe Sir William Coventry and others who looked on me did take me to be in one of my own, which I was a little troubled for. So to the lodge, and drank a cup of new milk, and so home, and there to Mistress Turner's, and sat and talked with her, and then home to bed, having laid my business with Will Hewer to go out of town Friday next, with hopes of a great deal of pleasure. The 4th of June. Up and to the office, where all the morning, and at noon home to dinner, where Mr. Clark, the solicitor, dined with me, and my clerks. After dinner I carried and set him down at the Temple, he observing to me how St. Sepulchre's church steeple is repaired already a good deal, and the Fleet Bridge is contracted for by the city to begin to be built this summer, which doth please me mightily. I to Whitehall and walked through the park for a little air, and so back to the council chamber to the Committee of the Navy, about the business of fitting the present fleet suitable to the money given, which, as the King orders it, and by what appears, will be very little, and so as I perceive the Duke of York will have nothing to command, nor can intend to go abroad. But it is pretty to see how careful these great men are to do everything, so as they may answer it to the Parliament, thinking themselves safe in nothing but where the judges, with whom they often advise, do say the matter is doubtful, and so they take upon themselves then to be the chief persons to interpret what is doubtful. Thence home, and all the evening to set matters in order against my going to Brampton tomorrow, being resolved upon my journey, and having the Duke of York's leave again today, though I do plainly see that I can very ill be spared now, there being much business, especially about this which I have attended the council about, and I the man that am alone consulted with, and besides my Lord Brunker is at this time ill, and Sir William Penn. So things being put in order at the office, I home to do the like there, and to bed.
Here 10 pages are left blank for the entries the 5th to the 17th of June. The entries were never inserted, and in their place the rough notes from which they were to be constructed were bound into the volume. The notes, like those of April the 10th to the 19th, include notes of expenditure which were meant for his account books, not his diary. They also include the draft of part of a letter.
The 5th of June, Friday. At Barnet for milk, sixpence. On the highway to Menders of the Highway, sixpence. Dinner at Stevenage, 5 and 6. The 6th of June, Saturday, spent at Huntingdon, with Bowles and Appleyard and Shepley, 2 shillings. The 7th of June, Sunday, my father for money lent and horse hire, £1.11. The 8th of June, Monday. Father's servants, father having in the garden told me bad stories of my wife's ill words, 14 shillings. One that helped at the horses, 1 shilling. Menders of the Highway, 2 shillings. Pleasant country to Bedford, where while they stay I rode through the town, and a good country town, and there drinking we on to Newport, and there light, and I and W.H. to the church, and there give the boy 1 shilling. So to Buckingham, a good old town. Here I to see the church, which very good, and the leads and a school in it, did give the sexton's boy 1 shilling. A fair bridge here with many arches. Vexed at my people's making me lose so much time. Reckoning, 13 and 4. Mightily pleased with the pleasure of the ground all the day. At night, to Newport Pagnell, and there a good pleasant country town, but few people in it. A very fair and like a cathedral church, and I saw the leads, and a vault that goes far underground. And here lay with Betty Turner's sparrow, the town, and so most of this country well watered. Lay here well and rose next day by 4 o'clock, few people in the town, and so away, reckoning for supper, 9 and 6. Poor mischance to the coach, but no time lost. 6 pence. The 9th of June, Tuesday. Paid our guide when came to Oxford, a very sweet place. £1, 2 shillings and 6 pence. Barber, 2 and 6. Book, Stonehenge, 4 shillings. To dinner, 1 shilling, and then out with wife and people and landlord, and to him that showed us the schools and library, 10 shillings. To him that showed us All Souls College and Chichley's pictures, 5 shillings. So to see Christchurch with my wife, I seeing several others very fine alone with W.H. before dinner, and did give the boy that went with me before dinner, 1 shilling. Strawberries, 1 and 2. Dinner and servants, £1 and 6 pence. After came home from the schools, I out with landlord to Brazen Nose College, to the butteries, and in the cellar find the hand of the child of Hales, butler, 2 shillings. Thence with coach and people to Physic Garden, 1 shilling. So to Friar Bacon's study, I up and saw it and gave the man 1 shilling. Bottle of sack for landlord, 2 shillings. Oxford, mighty fine place, and well seated and cheap entertainment. At night came to Abingdon, where had been a fair of custard, and met many people and scholars going home, and there did get some pretty good music and sang and danced till supper, 5 shillings. The 10th of June, Wednesday. Up and walked to the hospital, very large and fine, and pictures of founders, and the history of the S. Hospital, and is said to be worth £700 per annum, and that Mr. Foley was here lately to see how their lands were settled, and here, in Old English, the story of the occasion of it and a rebus at the bottom. So did give the poor, which they would not take but in their box, 2 and 6. So to the inn and paid the reckoning and servants, 13 shillings. So forth toward Hungerford, led this good way by our landlord, one Hart, a old but very civil and well-spoken man, more than as I ever heard of that quality. He gone, we forward, and I vexed at my people's not minding the way. So came to Hungerford, where very good trouts, eels, and crayfish dinner. A bad, mean town. At dinner there, 12 shillings. Then set out with a guide who saw us to Newmarket Heath, and then left us. 3 and 6. So all over the plain by the site of the steeple, the plain high and low, to Salisbury by night. But before came to the town, I saw a great fortification, and there light, and to it, and in it, and find it prodigious, so as to fright me to be in it all alone at that time of night, it being dark. Understand, I understand it since, to be that is called Old Sarum. Came to the town, Georgine, where lay in silk bed and very good diet. To supper, then to bed. The 11th of June, Thursday. And up, and W.H. and I up and down the town, and find it a very brave place, with river go through every street, and a most capacious market-place. The city great, I think, greater than Oxford. But the Minster most admirable, as big, I think, and handsomer than Westminster, and a most large close about it, and houses for the officers thereof, and a fine palace for the bishop. So to my lodging back, and took out my wife and people to show them the town and church, but they at prayers could not be shown the choir. A very good organ, and I looked in and saw the bishop, my friend, Dr. Ward. Thence to the inn, and there not being able to hire coach horses, and not willing to use our own, we got saddle horses, very dear. Boy that fetched went to look for them, 6 pence. So the three women behind W.H., Murford and our guide, and I single, to Stonehenge over the plain, and some prodigious great hills even to fright us. Came thither, and them find them as prodigious as any tales I ever heard of them, and worth going this journey to see. God knows what their use was. They are hard to tell, but yet may be told. Give the shepherd woman for leading our horses 4d. So back by Wilton, my Lord Pembroke's house, which we could not see, he being just coming to town, but the situation I do not much like, nor the house promise much, it being in a low but rich valley. So back home, and there being light, we to the church, and there find them at prayers again, so could not see the choir, but I sent the women home, and I did go in and see very many fine tombs, and among the rest some very ancient of the Montagues. So home to dinner, and that being done, paid the reckoning, which was so exorbitant, and particularly in rate of my horses, and 7s. 6d. for bread and beer, that I was mad and resolved to trouble the mistress about it, and get something for the poor, and came away in that humour, 2d. 5s. 6d. Servants, 1d. Poor, 1d. Guide to the stones, 2d. Poor woman in the street, 1d. Ribbons, 9d. Washwoman, 1d. Seamstress for W.H., 3d. Lent, W.H., 2d. Thence, about 6 o'clock, and with a guide, went over the smooth plain indeed till night, and then, by a happy mistake, and that looked like an adventure, we were carried out of our way, and with to a town, where we would lie since we could not go as far as we would, and there, with great difficulty, came about 10 at night to a little inn, where we were fain to go into a room, where a peddler was in bed and made him rise, and there wife and I lay, and in a truckle bed, Betty Turner and Willett, but good beds, and the master of the house a sober, understanding man, and I had pleasant discourse with him about this country matters as wool and corn and other things, and he also merry, and made us mighty merry at supper about manning the new ship at Bristol, with men, none but men, whose wives do master them, and it seems it is become in reproach to some men of estate that are such hereabouts, that this is become common talk. By and by to bed, glad of this mistake, because it seems had we gone on as we pretended, we could not have passed with our coach and must have lain on the plain all night. This day from Salisbury I wrote by the post my excuse for not coming home, which I hope will do, for I am resolved to see the Bath, and it may be Bristol. The 12th of June, Friday. Up finding our beds good, but we lousy, which made us merry, we set out the reckoning coming to, and servants come to 9d. My guide thither, 2d. Coachman advanced, 10d. So rode a very good way, led to my great content by our landlord to Phillips Norton, with great pleasure being now come into Somersetshire, where my wife and Deb mightily joyed thereat, I commending the country as indeed it deserves. And the first time town we came to was Breckington, where we stopping and drank in for something of the horses, we called 2 or 3 little boys to us and pleased ourselves with their manner of speech, and did make one of them kiss Deb, and another say the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy kingdom come. At Phillips Norton I walked to the church, and there saw a very ancient tomb of some Knight Templar, I think, and here saw the tombstone whereon there were only 2 heads cut, which the story goes, were credibly 2 sisters called the Fair Maids of Foscot, that had 2 bodies upward, and 1 below, and there lie buried. Here is also a very fine ring of 6 bells, and chimes mighty tunable. Having dined very well, 10d, we came before night to the Bath, where I presently stepped out with my landlord, and saw the baths with people in them. They are not so large as I expected, but yet pleasant, and the town most of stone, and clean, though the streets generally narrow. I home, and being weary, went home to bed without supper, the rest supping. The 13th of June, Saturday. Up at 4 o'clock, being by appointment, called up to the Cross Bath, where we were carried after one another, myself and wife and Betty Turner, Willett and W.H. And by and by, though we designed to have done before company came, much company came, very fine ladies, and the manor pretty enough, only, methinks, it cannot be clean to go so many bodies together into the same water. Good conversation among them, that are acquainted here and stay together. Strange to see how hot the water is, and in some places, though this is the most temperate bath, the spring so hot as the feet not to endure. But strange to see what women and men herein that live all the season in these waters, that cannot but be parboiled, and look like the creatures of the bath. Carried back wrap in a sheet, and in a chair home, and there, one after another thus carried, I staying above 2 hours in the water, home to bed, sweating for an hour, and by and by comes music to play to me, extraordinary good as ever I heard at London almost anywhere. 5 shillings. Up to go to Bristol about 11 o'clock, and paying my landlord that was our guide from Chitton, 10 shillings. Set out to Bristol, and the sergeant of the bath, 10 shillings, and the man that carried us in chairs, 3 and 6. Set out toward Bristol, and came thither the way bad, in coach, hired to spare our own horses. But country good. About 2 o'clock, we're set down at the Horseshoe, and there being trimmed by a very handsome fellow, 2 shillings, walked with my wife and people through the city, which is in every respect another London, that one can hardly know it to stand in the country no more than that. No carts it standing generally on vaults, only dog carts. So, to the Three Cranes Tavern I was directed, but when I came in the master told me that he had newly given over selling of wine, it seems, grown rich, and so went to the Sun, and there Deb going with W.H. and Betty Turner to see her uncle, and leaving my wife with mistress of the house, I to see the quay, which is a most large and noble place, and to see the new shipbuilding by Bailey, neither he nor Furza being in town. It will be a fine ship. Spoke with the foreman, and did give the boys that kept the cabin 2 shillings. Walked back to the Sun, where I will find Deb come back, and with her, her uncle, a sober merchant, very good company, and is so like one of our sober, wealthy London merchants as pleased me mightily. Here dined, and much good talk with him. 7 and 6. A messenger to Sir John Knight, who was not at home, 6 pence. Then walked with him and my wife and company to round the quay and to the ship, and he showed me the custom house, and made me understand many things of the place, and led us through Marsh Street, where our girl was born. But, Lord, the joy that was among the old poor people of the place to see Mistress Willett's daughter, it seems her mother being a brave woman and mightily beloved. And so brought us a back way by surprise to his house, where a substantial good house, and well furnished, and did give us good entertainment of strawberries, a whole venison pasty, cold, and plenty of brave wine, and above all, Bristol milk. Where comes in another poor woman, who hearing that Deb was here, did come running hither, and with her eyes so full of tears, and heart so full of joy, that she could not speak when she came in, that it made me weep too. I protest that I was not able to speak to her, which I would have done to have diverted her tears. His wife, a good woman, and so sober and substantial as I was never more pleased anywhere. Servant maid, 2 shillings. So thence took leave and he with us through the city, where in walking I find the city pay him great respect, and he the like to the meanest, which pleased me mightily. He showed us the place where the merchants meet here, and a fine cross yet standing like Cheapside. And so to the Horseshoe, where paying the reckoning, 2 and 6, we back and by moonshine to the bath again, about 10 o'clock, bad way, and giving the coachman 1 shilling, went all of us to bed. Dear Mr. Hill, 'twill be hard, I know, to make you believe that anything less than a forgetfulness of my obligations to you could beget, make way for, so long a silence in me. But so well I am assured of your inclination to think well of me, that I will not despair of your making a better construction of it, when I have frankly told you, frankly, and that the shameful as well as sorrowful successes of all our matters, which have without any intermission attended issues, which have without intermission attended the management and issue of the late war, have kept me to this day under so chagrin a sense and apprehension of my share, particular interest in the reproach due thereto, God, though God knows, though without vanity, though I thank God, though the world hath been pretty favourable to myself, though I, nevertheless, though I cannot buy, though I cannot complain of, though the world hath not been very unkind to me in this matter, that I have taken joy, little joy, in the notice of my home friends at home, but much less could find any content in appearing to them abroad, who, as they are more sensible, have greater sense of the scandal, so by their distance are they less able to distinguish between them that are, and those that are not, chargeable, upon whose negligence or corruption favour to charge the same. But the opportunity of this worthy hand that brings us this, Sir Robert Southwell, makes it as well safe, as well as fit, necessary for me to show myself now to you, and leaving all those public... The 14th of June, Sunday. Up and walked up and down the town, and saw a pretty good marketplace, and many good street, and very fair stone houses, and so to the great church, and there saw Bishop Montague's tomb, and when placed, did there see many brave people come, and among other two men brought in litters, and set down in the chancel to hear. But I did not know one face. Here a good organ, but a vain pragmatic fellow preached a ridiculous sermon, affected, that made me angry, and some gentleman that sat next me and sang well. So home walking round the walls of the city, which are good, and the battlements all whole. The sexton of the church, 1 shilling. So home to dinner. And after dinner comes Mr. Butts again to see me, and he and I to church, where the same idle fellow preached, and I slept most of the sermon. Thence home and took my wife out and the girls and came to this church again to see it, and look over the monuments, where, among others, Dr. Venner and Pelling, and a lady of Sir William Waller's, he lying with his face broken. So to the fields a little and walked, and then home, and had my head looked, and so to supper, and then comes my landlord to me, a sober, understanding man, and did give me a good account of the antiquity of this town, and Wells, and of 2 heads on 2 pillars in Wells Church, but he a Catholic. So he gone, I to bed. The 15th of June, Monday. Up and with Mr. Butts to look into the baths, and find the king and queens full of a mixed sort of good and bad, and the cross only almost for the gentry. So home, and did the like with my wife, and did pay my guides. 2 women, 5 shillings. 1 man, 2 and 6. Poor, 6 pence. Woman to lay my footcloth, 1 shilling. So to our inn, and there ate and paid reckoning. 1 pound, 8 shillings and 6 pence. Servants, 3 shillings. Poor, 1 shilling. Lent the coachman, 10 shillings. Before I took coach, I went to make a boy dive in the king's bath, 1 shilling. I paid also for my coach and a horse to Bristol, 1 pound, 1 shilling and 6 pence. Took coach and away without any of the company of the other stage coaches that go out of this town today, and rode all day with some trouble for fear of being out of our way over the downs, where the life of the shepherds is in fair weather only pretty. In the afternoon came to Avebury, where seeing great stones like those of Stonehenge standing up, I stepped and took a countryman of the town, and he carried me and showed me a place trenched in like old Sarum almost, with great stones pitched in it, some bigger than those at Stonehenge in figure, to my great admiration, and he told me that most people of learning, coming by, do come and view them, and that the king did so, and that the mount cast hard by is called Selbury, from 1 king, Seal, buried here, as tradition says. I did give this man 1 shilling. So took coach again, seeing 1 place with great high stones, pitched round, which I believe was once some particular fine building, like that in some measure, like that of Stonehenge. But about 1 mile on, It was prodigious to see how full the downs are of great stones, and all along the valleys, stones of considerable bigness, most of them growing certainly out of the ground, so thick as to cover the ground, which makes me think the less of the wonder of Stonehenge, for hence they might undoubtedly supply themselves with stones as well as those at Avebury. In my way did give to the poor and menders of the highway 3 shillings. Before night came to Marlborough, and lay at the Hart, a good house, and there a fair and pretty fair town for a street or two, and what is most singular is their houses on one side, having their penthouses supported with pillars, which makes it a good walk. My wife pleased with all this evening reading of Mustapha to me, till supper, and then to supper and had music, whose innocence pleased me, and I did give them 3 shillings. So to bed, and lay well all night, and long, so as all the 5 coaches that came this day from Bath, as well as we, were gone out of the town before us. So, paying the reckoning, 14 and 4, and servants, 2 shillings, poor, 1 shilling. Set out and overtook 1 coach, and kept a while company with it, till one of our horses, losing a shoe, we stopped, and drank and spent 1 shilling. So on, and passing through a good part of this country of Wiltshire, and saw good house of Alexander Popham's, and another of my Lord Craven's, I think in Berkshire, we came to Newbury, and there dined, which cost me, and music, which a song of the old courtier of Queen Elizabeth, and how he was changed upon the coming in of the king, did please me mightily, and I did cause W.H. to write it out. 3 and 6. Then comes the reckoning, forced to change gold, 8 and 7. Servants and poor, 1 and 6. So out and lost our way, which made me vexed, but came into it again, and in the evening betimes came to Reading, and there heard my wife read more of Mustapha. Then to supper, and then I to walk about the town, which is a very great one, I think, bigger than Salisbury. A river runs through it, behind in 7 branches, and unite in 1 at the end in 1 part of the town, and runs into Thames, 1/2 mile off. 1 odd sign of the broad face. W.H., troubled with the headache, we had none of his company last night, nor all this day, nor night, to talk. Then to my inn, and so to bed. The 17th of June, Wednesday. Rose and paying the reckoning, 12 and 6. Servants and poor, 2 and 6. Music, the worst we have had, came to our chamber door, but calling us by wrong names, we gave him nothing. So set out with 1 coach in company, and through Maidenhead, which I never saw before, to Colnbrook. By noon, the way mighty good, and there dined and fitted ourselves a little to go through London anon. Somewhat out of humour all day, reflecting on my wife's neglect of things, and in pertinent humour got by this liberty of being from me, which she is never to be trusted with, for she is a fool. Thence, pleasant way to London before night, and find all very well to great content. And there to walk with my wife, and saw Sir W.P., who is well again, hear of the ill news by the great fire at Barbados. By and by, home, and there with my people to supper, all in pretty good humour, though I find my wife hath something in her gizzard that which waits an opportunity of being provoked to bring up. But I will not, for my content's sake, give it. So I to bed, glad to find all so well here, and slept well. The 18th and 19th of June. Up betimes into the office there to set my papers in order and books, my office having been new whited and windows made clean, and so to sit where all the morning, and did receive a hint or two from my Lord Anglesey, as if he thought much of my taking the air as I have done, but I care not a turd. But whatever the matter is, I think he hath some ill will to me, or at least an opinion that I am more the servant of the board than I am. At noon, home to dinner, where my wife, still in a melancholy fusty humour, and crying, and doth not tell me plainly what it is, but I, by little words, find that she hath heard of my going to plays, and carrying people abroad every day in her absence, and that I cannot help, but the storm will break out, I know, in a little time. After dinner, carried her by coach to St. James's, where she sat in the coach till I to my Lady Peterborough, who tells me, among other things, her lord's good words to the Duke of York lately about my Lord Sandwich, and that the Duke of York is kind to my Lord Sandwich, which I am glad to hear. My business here was about her lord's pension from Tangier. Here met with Povey, who tells me how hard Creed is upon him, though he did give him, about 6 months since, I think he said, 50 pieces in gold, and one thing there is in his accounts that I fear may touch me, but I shall help it, I hope. So my wife, not speaking a word going, nor coming, nor willing to go to a play, though a new one, I to the office and did much business. At night home, where supped Mr. Turner and his wife, and Betty and Mercer and Pelling, as merry as the ill melancholy humour that my wife was in would let us, which vexed me, but I took no notice of it, thinking that will be the best way, and let it wear away itself. After supper, parted and to bed, and my wife troubled all night, and about 1 o'clock goes out of the bed to the girl's bed, which did trouble me, she crying and sobbing without telling the cause. By and by comes back to me, and still crying, I then rose and would have sat up all night, but she would have me come to bed again, and being pretty well pacified, we to sleep. When, between 2 and 3 in the morning, we were waked with my maids crying out, "Fire! Fire! In Mark Lane!" So I rose and looked out, and it was dreadful, and strange apprehensions in me and us all of being presently burnt. So we all rose, and my care presently was to secure my gold and plate and papers, and could quickly have done it, but I went forth to see where it was, and the whole town was presently in the streets, and I found it in a new-built house that stood alone in Minchin Lane, over against the cloth workers' hall, which burned furiously, the house not yet quite finished. And the benefit of brick was well seen, for it burnt all inward and fell down within itself, so no fear of doing more hurt. So homeward, and stopped at Mr. Mills, where he and she at the door, and Mistress Turner, and Betty, and Mistress Holworthy. And there I stayed and talked, and up to the church leads, and saw the fire, which spent, and spent itself, till all fear over. I home, and there we to bed again, and slept pretty well. And about 9 rose, and then my wife fell into her blubbering again, and at length had a request to make to me, which was that she might go into France, and live there out of trouble. And then all came out, that I loved pleasure, and denied her any, and a deal of do, and I find that there have been great fallings out between my father and her, whom for ever hereafter I must keep asunder, for they cannot possibly agree. And I said nothing, but with very mild words and few, suffered her humour to spend, till we begin to be very quiet, and I think all will be over, and friends. And so I to the office, where all the morning doing business, yesterday, I heard how my Lord Ashley is like to die, having some imposthume in his breast, that he hath been fain to be cut into the body. At noon, home to dinner, and thence by coach to Whitehall, where we attended the Duke of York in his closet upon our usual business. And thence out and did see many of the knights of the Garter, with the King and Duke of York, going into the Privy Chamber, to elect the Elector of Saxony into the order, who I did hear the Duke of York say was a good drinker. I know not upon what score this compliment is done him. Thence with William Penn, who is in great pain of the gout, by coach round by Holborn home, he being at every kennel full of pain. There home, and by and by comes in my wife and Deb, who have been at the King's house today, thinking to spy me there, and saw the new play, Evening Love, of Dryden's, which, though the world commends, she likes not. So to supper and talk, and all in good humour, and then to bed, where I slept not well from my apprehensions of some trouble about some business of Mr. Povey's he told me of the other day. The 20th of June. Up and talked with wife, all in good humour, and so to the office, where all the morning, and then home to dinner. And so she and I alone to the King's house, and there I saw this new play my wife saw yesterday, and I do not like it, it being very smutty, and nothing so good as the maiden queen or the Indian emperor of his making, that I was troubled at it, and my wife tells me is wholly, which she confesses a little in the epilogue, taken out of the illustre basse. So she to unthanks, and I to Mr. Povey, and there settled some business, and here talked of things, and he thinks there will be great revolutions, and that Creed will be a great man, though a rogue, he being a man of the old strain, which will now be up again. So I took coach, and set Povey down at Charing Cross, and took my wife up, and calling at the New Exchange at Smith's shop, and kissed her pretty hand, and so we home, and there able to do nothing by candlelight, my eyes being now constantly so bad that I must take present advice or be blind. So to supper, grieved for my eyes, and to bed. The 21st of June, Lord's Day. Up and to church and home, and dined with my wife and Deb alone, but merry and in good humour, which is, when all is done, the greatest felicity of all. And after dinner she to read in the illustre basse, the plot of yesterday's play, which is most exactly the same. And so to church, I alone, and thence to see Sir William Penn, who is ill again, and then home, and there get my wife to read to me till supper, and then to bed. The 22nd of June. Up and with Balty to St. James's, and there presented him to Mr. Wren about his being muster-master this year, which will be done. So up to wait on the Duke of York, and thence with William Coventry walk to Whitehall. Good discourse about the navy, where want of money undoes us. Thence to Harp and Ball, I to drink, and so to the coffee-house in Covent Garden, but met with nobody but Sir Philip Howard, who shamed me before the whole house there, in commendation of my speech in Parliament. And thence I away home to dinner alone, my wife being at her tailor's. And after dinner comes Creed, whom I hate, to speak with me, and before him comes Mistress Daniel, about business. And io did toccar su cosa with mi mano. She gone, Creed and I to the King's Playhouse, and saw an act or two of the new play again, but like it not. Calling this day at Herringman's, he tells me Dryden doth himself call it but a fifth-rate play. Thence with him to my Lord Brunker's, where a council of the Royal Society, and there heard Mr. Harry Howard's noble offers about ground for our college, and his intentions of building his own house there, most nobly. My business was to meet Mr. Boyle, which I did, and discoursed about my eyes, and he did give me the best advice he could, but refers me to one Turberville of Salisbury, lately come to town, which I will go to. Thence home, where the street's full at our end of the town, removing their wine against the act begins, which will be 2 days hence, to raise the price. I did get my store in of Batalier this night. So home, to supper, and to bed. The 23rd of June. Up and all the morning at the office, at noon, home to dinner, and so to the office again all the afternoon, and then to Westminster, to Dr. Turberville, about my eyes, whom I met with, and he did discourse, I thought, learnedly about them, and takes time, before he did prescribe me anything, to think of it. So I away with my wife and Deb, whom I left at Unthanks, and so to Hercules Pillars, and there we three supped on cold powdered beef, and thence home, and in the garden walked a good while with Dean, talking well of the navy miscarriages and faults. So home to bed. The 24th of June. Up and Creed and Colonel Atkins comes to me about sending coals to Tangier, and upon that most of the morning. Thence Creed and I to Alderman Backwell's about Tangier business of money, and thence I buy water, calling and drinking, but not bizando, at Mitchell's, to Westminster, but it being holiday did no business, only to Martin's, and there yo did hacer la cosa con her, and so home again by water, and busy till dinner, and then with wife, Mercer, Deb, and Will Hewer to the Duke of York's playhouse, and there saw The Impertinence, a pretty good play, and so by water to Spring Garden, and there supped, and so home, not very merry, only when we came home, Mercer and I sat and sung in the garden a good while, and so to bed. The 25th of June. Up and to the office all the morning, and after dinner at home, to the office again, and there all the afternoon, very busy till night, and then home to supper and to bed. The 26th of June. All the morning doing business at the office. At noon with my fellow officers to the Dolphin, at Sir George Carteret's charge, to dinner, he having some accounts examined this morning. All the afternoon we all at Sir William Penn's with him about the Victualler's accounts, and then in the evening to Charing Cross, and there took up my wife at her tailor's, and so home and to walk in the garden, and then to sup and to bed. The 27th of June. At the office all the morning at noon dined at home, and then my wife and Deb and I to the King's Playhouse, and saw The Indian Queen. But do not dote upon Nan Marshall's acting therein, as the world talks of her excellence therein. Thence with my wife to buy some linen, £13 worth for sheets, etc., at the new shop over against the New Exchange, come out of London since the fire, who says his and other tradesmen's retail trade is so great here, and better than it was in London, that they believe they shall not return, nor the city be ever so great for retail as heretofore. So home, and to my business, and supper, and to bed. The 28th of June. Lord's Day. Up and to church, and then home to dinner, where Betty Turner, Mercer, and Captain Dean, and after dinner to sing, Mr. Pelling coming. Then they gone, Dean and I all the afternoon till night to talk of navy matters, and ships with great pleasure. And so at night, he gone, I to supper, Pelling coming again and singing a while, then to bed. Much talk of the French setting out their fleet afresh, but I hear nothing that our king is alarmed at it at all, but rather making his fleet less. The 29th of June. Called up by my Lady Peterborough's servant about some business of hers, and so to the office, thence by and by with Sir John Minnis toward St. James's, and I stop at Dr. Turberville's, and there did receive a direction for some physic, and also a glass of something to drop into my eyes, who gives me hopes that I may do well. Thence to St. James's, and thence to Whitehall, where find the Duke of York in the council chamber, where the officers of the navy were called in about navy business, about calling in of more ships. The King of France having, as the Duke of York says, ordered his fleet to come in, notwithstanding what he had lately ordered for their staying abroad. Thence to the chapel, it being St. Peter's Day, and did hear an anthem of Silas Taylor's making, a dull old-fashioned thing of 6 and 7 parts that nobody could understand. And the Duke of York, when he came out, told me that he was a better storekeeper than anthem-maker, and that was bad enough too. This morning Mr. May showed me the King's new building at Whitehall, very fine, and among other things his ceilings and his houses of office. So home to dinner, and then with my wife to the King's Playhouse, the Mulberry Garden, which she had not seen, and so by coach to Islington and round by Hackney, home with much pleasure, and to supper and bed. The 30th of June. Up and at the office all the morning, then home to dinner, where a stinking leg of mutton, the weather being very wet and hot to keep meat in. Then to the office again all the afternoon, we met about the Victualler's new contract. And so up and to walk all the evening with my wife and Mistress Turner, in the garden till supper, about 11 at night. And so after supper parted, and to bed. My eyes bad, but not worse, only weary with working. But, however, I very melancholy under the fear of my eyes being spoilt, and not to be recovered, for I am come that I am not able to read out a small letter, and yet my sight good, for the little while I can read as ever they were, I think. July 1668. The 1st. Up, and all the morning we met at the office about the Victualler's contract. At noon, home to dinner. Cousin Roger, come newly to town, dined with us, and mighty importunate for our coming down to Impington, which I think to do this Stourbridge fair. Thence I set him down at the Temple, and Commissioner Middleton, dining the first time with me, he and I on to Whitehall, and so to St. James's, where we met, and much business with the Duke of York. And I find the Duke of York very hot for regulations in the Navy, and I believe is put on it by William Coventry, and I am glad of it. And particularly he falls heavy on Chatham Yard, and is vexed that Lord Anglesey did the other day complain at the council table of disorders in the Navy, and not to him. So I to Whitehall to Committee of Tangier, and there vexed with the importunity and clamours of Alderman Backwell, for my acquittance for money by him supplied the garrison, before I have any order for paying it. So home, calling at several places, among others the change, and on Cooper to know when my wife shall come and sit for her picture, which will be next week, and so home, and to walk with my wife, and then to supper and to bed. Called up by a letter from William Coventry, telling me that the Commissioners of Accounts intend to summon me about William Warren's Hamburg contract, and so I up and to William Coventry, he and George Carteret and I being the party concerned in it. And after conference with him about it, to satisfaction, I home again to the office. At noon, home to dinner, and then all the afternoon busy, to prepare answer to this demand of the Commissioners of Accounts, and did discourse with Sir William Warren about it. And so, in the evening, with my wife and Deb by coach, to take air to Mile End, and so home, and I to bed, vexed to be put to this frequent trouble in things we deserve best in. The 3rd of July. Betimes to the office, my head full of this business. Then by coach to Commissioners of Accounts at Brook House, the first time I ever there. And there Sir William Turner in the chair, and present Lord Halifax, Thompson, Gregory, Dunster and Osborne. I long with them, and see them hot set on this matter, but I did give them proper and safe answers. Halifax, I perceive, was industrious on my side, on behalf of his uncle Coventry, it being the business of Sir William Warren, vexed only at their denial of a copy of what I set my hand to and swore. Here till almost 2 o'clock, and then home to dinner, and set down presently what I had done and said this day. And so, abroad by water, I to Eagle Court in the Strand, and there to an alehouse. Met Mr. Pierce, the surgeon, and Dr. Clark, Waldron, Turberville, my physician for the eyes, and Lower, to dissect several eyes of sheep and oxen, with great pleasure, and to my great information. But strange that this Turberville should be so great a man, and yet to this day had seen no eyes dissected, or but once, but desired this Dr. Lower to give him the opportunity to see him dissect some. Thence to unthanks to my wife and carried her home, and there walked in the garden, and so to supper and to bed. The 4th of July. Up and to see Sir William Coventry, and give him account of my doings yesterday, which he well liked of, and was told thereof by my Lord Halifax before. But I do perceive he is much concerned for this business, gives me advice to write a smart letter to the Duke of York about the want of money in the Navy, and desire him to communicate it to the Commissioners of the Treasury, for he tells me he hath hot work sometimes to contend with the rest for the Navy, they being all concerned for some other part of the King's expense, which they would prefer to this of the Navy. He showed me his closet, with his round table for him to sit in the middle, very convenient, and I borrowed several books of him to collect things out of the Navy, which I have not. And so home, and there busy, sitting all the morning, and at noon dined, and then all the afternoon busy till night. And then to Mile End with my wife and girl, and there ate and drank a jole of salmon at the Rose and Crown, our old house, and so home to bed. The 5th of July. Lord's Day. About 4 in the morning took 4 pills of Dr. Turberville's prescribing for my eyes, and they wrought pretty well most of the morning, and I did get my wife to spend the morning reading of Wilkinson's Real Character. At noon comes Will Howe and Pelling, and young Mitchell and his wife, and dined with us. And most of the afternoon talking, and then at night my wife to read again, and to supper, and to bed. The 6th of July. Up unto St. James's, and there attended the Duke of York, and was there by him himself told how angry he was, and did declare to my Lord Anglesey about his late complaining of things of the navy to the king in council, and not to him, and I perceive he is mightily concerned at it, and resolved to reform things therein. Thence with William Coventry walked in the park together a good while, he mighty kind to me, and hear many pretty stories of my Lord Chancellor's being heretofore made sport of, by Peter Talbot, the priest in his story of the death of Cardinal Bellew, my Lord Cottington in his Dolor de las Tripas, and Tom Killigrew in his being bred in Ram Alley and now bound prentice to Lord Cottington, going to Spain with £1,000 and 2 suits of clothes. Thence home to dinner, and thence to Mr. Cooper's, and there met my wife and Will Hewer and Deb, and there my wife first sat for her picture, but he is a most admirable workman, and good company. Here comes Harris, and first told us how Betterton is come again upon the stage, whereupon my wife and company to that house to see Henry the Fifth, while I to attend the Duke of York at the Committee of the Navy at the Council, where some high dispute between him and William Coventry about settling pensions upon all flag officers while unemployed, William Coventry against it, and, I think, with reason. Thence I to the playhouse and saw a piece of the play, and glad to see Betterton, and so with wife and Deb to Spring Garden, and ate a lobster, and so home in the evening and to bed. Great doings at Paris, I hear, with their triumphs for their late conquests. The Duchess of Richmond sworn last week of the Queen's bedchamber, and the King minding little else but what he used to do about his women. The 7th of July. Up and to the office where Kate Joyce came to me about some tickets of hers, but took no notice to me of her being married, but seemed mighty pale and doubtful what to say or do, expecting, I believe, that I should begin, and not finding me beginning, said nothing, but with trouble in her face went away and said nothing. At the office all the morning and after dinner also all the afternoon, and in the evening with my wife and Deb and Betty Turner to Unthanks, where we are fain to go round by Newgate, because of Fleet Bridge being under rebuilding. They stayed there and I about some business, and then presently back and brought them home and supped. And Mistress Turner, the mother, comes to us, and there late, and so to bed. The 8th of July. Betimes by water to Sir William Coventry, and there discoursed of several things, and I find him much concerned in the present inquiries now on foot of the Commissioners of Accounts, though he reckons himself and the rest very safe, but vexed to see us liable to these troubles, in things wherein we have laboured to do best. Thence, he being to go out of town tomorrow to drink Banbury waters, I to the Duke of York to attend him about business of the office, and find him mighty free to me, and how he is concerned to mend things in the navy himself, and not leave it to other people. So home to dinner, and then with my wife to Cooper's, and there saw her sit, and he doth do extraordinary things indeed. So to Whitehall, and there by and by the Duke of York comes to the robe chamber, and spent with us 3 hours till night, in hearing the business of the master's attendants of Chatham, and the storekeeper of Woolwich, and resolves to displace them all, so hot he is of giving proofs of his justice at this time, that it is their great fate now to come to be questioned at such a time as this. Thence I to Unthanks, and took my wife and Deb home, and to supper and bed. The 9th of July. Up and to the office, where sat all the morning and afternoon, to the office again till night, mighty busy getting Mr. Fiss to come and help me, my own clerks all busy, and so in the evening, to ease my eyes, I with my wife and Deb and Betty Turner by coach to Unthanks, and back again, and then to supper and to bed. The 10th of July. Up and to attend the council, but all in vain, the council spending all the morning upon a business about the printing of the critics, a dispute between the first printer, one B that is dead, and the abstractor, who would now print his abstracts, one pool. So home to dinner and thence to Haywood's to look upon an espinette's, and I did come near the buying of one, but broke off. I have a mind to have one. So to Cooper's, and there find my wife and Will Hewer and Deb, sitting and painting, and here he doth work finely, though I fear it will not be so like as I expected, but now I understand his great skill in music, his playing and setting to the French lute most excellently, and speaks French, and indeed is an excellent man. Thence in the evening with my people in a glass hackney-coach to the park, but was ashamed to be seen, so to the lodge and drank milk, and so home to supper and to bed.